You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hold on, let me try that again. Hey, on a Wednesday, welcome to All Marine Radio. The house that I built. On a Wednesday, hump day. At lunch, we'll be halfway through the week. Probably more than halfway, because you really can't count Friday afternoon as part of the... Come on, that's... Nothing's going on Friday afternoon. So, at about halfway through this morning, so, what, 10:30? 8? No, at 10 o'clock. Get to work at 8, go to lunch at noon. Come back at 1, so that's 4 hours. So 2 hours into this morning. You're halfway through. So if you're on the East Coast, congratulations, man. You're on the other side. If you're in Central Time, you're 3 minutes into the second half of the week. And if you're on the West Coast, you got an hour and 57 minutes away. Don't worry about thanking me for the math. It's what I do. Speaking of what I do, man, I've had the most, like, productive, one of the most productive 24-hour periods of my life. Yeah. Actually, what happens to me is I start running around, I'm doing the radio show, and I'm doing post-traumatic winning, and I don't have time to do anything else. And then normally something goes wrong during that period of time when I get into these, like, periods like I'd had, like, one in April, May, where I was flying around and doing stuff, and then I just had another one. And that just kind of came to a close. And then there's another one in July. And where I do post-traumatic winning a lot. I don't know. It's just the coincidence of the schedule. But anyway, I lost a pair of sunglasses last week that I just bought. I owned them for a day. And I've rationalized it, though. It's the cost of doing business, right? Now, in addition to rationalizing it, I made I have a checklist that I have when I travel, right? But I don't really have one for day trips. Yeah, I do now. And so then before I leave someplace, I go through it, click, 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 to make sure I have everything. So I'm learning. But because I hate losing my shit. For instance, this morning I woke up, and so yesterday, as the dust has settled in my life here, after I got back from Yuma, which was the culmination of kind of a another one of those periods of gone and doing shit. As the dust settled in my life, I first thing I do is I sit down and I start doing business, which means money. And really what I have to do for this is all my travel and expenses are paid by the government out of the Defense Travel System, DTS. Now, I'm not in DTS, but that's how they do it. So every entity I deal with, I have to deal with somebody different who may or may not have a lot of knowledge about the system, and now they've got to do this. It's a nightmare. And you're talking hundreds of dollars, $1,000 of travel expenses that you run up, and you're waiting on them. I would tell you the normal time to settle those is over a month. They're supposed to be submitted within 5 days. For whatever reason, it doesn't work very well. But anyway, so... I mean, when you do, I don't know, 3 or 4, I mean, of these, it's not a small amount of money. So, that you, see, in the military, they give you a credit card. You just put on your credit card. And then you file, you know, the appropriate documents. Then they pay your credit card. Yeah, you're never out the money. Not so when you're a civilian. Now, they should advance me the money. That's what they should do, and I should figure out how to do that. So before I left, I mean, I would be... They used to do this in the old days, back before when they had government travel charge cards. They would advance you 85% of the cost of the travel. See, it's really... Your travel isn't based on your expenses. It's based on what you rate. So let's say on a day that you spend someplace, the per diem rate is like $70. If it's a partial day, it's 50. So if you go, let's just say you go on a 4-day trip. You travel on day one. You're there on day two. You're there on day three, speaking. And then you fly home on day four. So you rate per diem for half day on day one. You rate a full day on day two, full day on of day three, half day on day four. You rate a rental car. You rate and a hotel. All those rates are defined by the federal government, what they will pay. It's not like you say, oh, yeah, there's no real hotels that I find suitable other than the ones near Pentagon City. Those go for $270 a night on the average for a moderately priced hotel, so pay up. They say, no, we ain't doing that. Yeah, we ain't paying that. You rate $98, go find a hotel. Yeah, you're staying out in Winchester outside the Beltway. So anyway, so it's doing that. And then there's also trying to get paid, which is another interesting little event itself. So I sit down and I do that. Then I look at my schedule, and I look at my schedule, what's upcoming, right? Then I deal with other businesses, other business stuff, nonprofit, you know, legalization and filing, right? Tax filings, financial statements, blah, 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 blah. So I did that. Well, let me just tell you, I've been fighting this beast in earnest probably since February. And yesterday, I turned the corner. That's right. So I'm doing that stuff, but it's all getting easier and easier by the day, honestly. And so, last night, I was going through mail and shredding mail that I didn't need, right? I was going through paper, shredding what I didn't need. And then I started cleaning. Now, for those of you who've listened to the program, cleaning is like therapy to me. I was cleaning. I was watching the Yankee game, and I was putting together, in addition to a checklist to do day trips, I was putting together very, very, very I was very, very specific instructions for when I do travel, the specific settings on the mixer and the specific settings on the laptop. So I was building a two-page PowerPoint for that, right? And again, one button screws the whole thing up. So I made sure that all of that was good. So I'm watching the ball game. I'm doing that. I'm shredding. I'm going through old mail. I'm filing stuff and getting my life in order. And so then the Yankee game ends, and then that process keeps going. And then I had to hang something on the wall, and I thought, you know what? I need to rearrange that, and I need to go get some of my I Love Me things that are hanging in the garage and bring them in here. So then I set about doing that. So I finished cleaning and dusting, more dusting than cleaning, a little bit of both, to be honest with you. And so then I went out and I got more of my I Love Me stuff. And that started because the 5th Marine Regiment last week gave me a plaque. Colonel Schreffler gave me a plaque. It was very cool. I reported to the 5th Marine Regiment 35 years ago as second lieutenant. Yeah, how awesome is that? So at the end of post-traumatic winning, I will tell you, it was very cool. Colonel Schreffler's seen it before, and he stood up and he said very nice things. He said, hey, you know, I took notes, more notes today, and I learned more today than I did the first time. And, you know, he talked about it and the differences it's made in saving lives in the Marine Corps, and gave me a plaque. So I needed to put that up. So then I thought, well, I need to get my other good stuff out of the garage. So I went and got, I have a really cool plaque I got in Fallujah. It's a piece of wood. I don't know where they got it. Stained with a kind of combat French forge made out of 550 cord, green and red 550 cord. Yeah, it's cool. The piece of wood is cut in the shape of a rock. Yeah, no shit. Somebody with some skills did this thing. And then there's a plaque with my name in it and 5th Marine Regiment. There's a 5th Marine Regiment coin. And, okay, hold on to your hats. There's a Soviet bayonet that goes on an AK-47. And that is like, that is stapled. Not stapled. It is wired into the piece of wood. The wood is stained with the forge on it. The coin, the ply, awesome. And then I put a couple things on there. I put the blue diamond on there. The patch of the 1st Marine Division, I put that on there. And I had a green kind of Marine Corps patch I put on it. And then I put one of my name tapes. Yeah, so pimp that bitch out. So that went up. The plaque I got right next to it has another forge on it, but it's my second lieutenant plaque. Westpac, 1985. Boom. One of those plaques you got in the Philippines? Like they would make like 70 plaques for you for $15. Yeah, bad to the bone, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. Second lieutenant, I was a junior officer. Me and Dan Pinedo were the junior officers on the deployment. That's right. So that's up next to it. The picture my company gave me, Alpha Company, 3rd LA I Battalion at the time, and of us out in the desert, and then another plaque I got when I left 1st LAR. So yeah, and then one other one I got in my I Love Me stuff, and then there's a. It's a picture of Ramadi in 2004, and the division staff gave it to me, and then they all sign it. What's funny about it is that, like, this is what I really think about is funny about those kind of pictures. People will comment about what other people say. My good friends will comment like, dude, you know this guy totally doesn't mean this. He doesn't even like you. And so there's some of that stuff on there. All of that sits on kind of the top foot, maybe 18 inches of one wall that has a closet in it, on it, right? And over the closet, right, That's where the painting that Ohio Man sent me, one of my favorite paintings, yeah, the Battle for Little Round Top, where Strong Vincent did his thing. So, anyway, so I did that. And then I started watching the Red Sox game last night that went, what, 16 innings? So, and then I started doing more. I went and started doing more money and forecasting, which made me happy. So, so that made me happy. So I made a little trip to the bank. While the ball game was on, they were tied. Red Sox went ahead 3-2 in the top of the ninth. And lo and behold, Twins tied up. The Twins used to be okay, but now they're pretty good. They have one of the best records in baseball, if not the best. I think Houston's got the best record. Minnesota might be second. Anywho, so I come back home. I go to the bank. Ball game's on. 15th inning or so. I come back. Finish watching the ball game. Twins win. Twins win. That made me happy. And then I finished. Cleaning up. This morning, I woke up at 4 something. Lay in bed. Get out of bed at 5:03. Hop in the shower. And then start doing final cleaning stuff. I even thought, now, listen to this. I even thought about meditating. I normally don't do that. And when I say meditating, I don't mean like, I don't mean that, right? I mean something like, let me see if I can find a video. I think this is it. All right, so listen to Kobe Bryant talk about meditation. So I don't. Yeah, so I don't mean. I don't mean that. Oh, I mean, he talks about, you know, getting to a quiet place. And I will say this. It's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? How do you think about this stuff when you've got all this other stuff going on in your life? I don't think you can. That's why taking care of all the other stuff is important. That's why having a sense of control is important. That's why somebody teaching you how to do that is important. So I think one of the things that plagues people that do destructive things in their own life is a feeling that they don't control their own life, that things aren't going well and they can't control it. And so now I think it's easy when you're a multimillionaire to do stuff like this. But if you look at happiness indexes, I don't know what the plural of indexes. If you look at them, people with money aren't happy. So anyway, with all that said, here's Kobe Bryant talking about how he uses meditation to get ready for the day.
I meditate every day. And I do it in the mornings, and I do it for about 10 to 15 minutes. And I think it's important because it sets me up for the rest of the day. You know, it helps me. It's like having an anchor. You know, if I don't do it, I feel like I'm constantly chasing the day, as opposed to being able to be controlled and dictate the day. Not that you're, you know, calling the shots on what comes forward, but the fact that I am set and ready for whatever may come my way. You know, I have a calmness about whatever comes my way and a poise. And that comes from starting the morning off with meditation.
So interesting. So anyway, so I thought about doing that. And I was like, I got down in the shower and I had a few additional items to kind of straighten out here in the house and then in my office. And so I did that. And then I was thinking about making breakfast. And so I get ready to make breakfast, and I look at my refrigerator. I'm like, I need to wipe those shelves off. So wiping off the shelves turns into 20 minutes of cleaning the refrigerator. So now I've got a clean refrigerator. Then I make breakfast, right? And then I come in, and then I got ready. So I have to tell you, I think that if you haven't looked at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you ought to, okay? And then you ought to think about post-traumatic winning. What? Yeah, think about it. Think about Maslow and Mac. All right, Maslow. At the bottom, physiological. On top of that, safety. On top of that, love, belonging. On top of that, esteem. And at the very top, self-actualization. Now, I don't know if I agree with all that. I think there's a few more. Physiological, safety, and I think financial wellness, I would put in there before love and belonging. Or maybe above love and belonging. I would put esteem before love and belonging. Now, I know Maslow's a bright guy, but to me, esteem, right? That's important. And that's relative to yourself. So before I look externally, I mean, I need to look at myself internally. Anyway, and I think the financial thing is a huge part of being able to control your life. And it's really interesting talking to young Marines. You know, I mean, they and I'll tell you what, and even a conversation with my daughter last week about student loans. You know, it's so expensive to go to school, Dad. But wait a minute, who says you have to go to that school, though, if you can't afford it? And if you make that decision, why is it on me to pay that off for you? That's bullshit. Why is it on people who can't get in that school or made other decisions or didn't go to college? Why is it on them to pay that? Well, it's just different than when you were young. No, it's not. My mom, it's interesting, right? It's my daughter, too. My mom, she sat me down and said, okay, look, here's what's going to happen. We're willing to talk to you and pay for you to go away to school. But you're going to do your first year away from your first 2 years here at home. You're going to get your general education out of the way. California's got a pretty together college system. Community college all over the state, right, that is very cheap. So you can go there to school and knock out your first years. All of those classes, most of those classes transfer to both the state system, like San Diego State, San Jose State, San Francisco State, right? Like, you know, Cal State Bakersfield, all those schools, Fresno State, yeah, that's the state system. Then you have the UC system, which is above that, all right? UC Berkeley, UCLA, UC San Diego, UC Irvine, UC Santa Barbara. So the classes that you can take at junior college are transferable to those schools. You got to make sure you take the right ones, but you got to, you know, same requirements, blah, 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 blah. So anywho, yeah, Kathleen sat down and said, so I think, anyway, in terms of Maslow and post-traumatic winning, I think there's a lot of parallels in terms of basic needs. And I would say safety. So Maslow defines, here's how Maslow defines basic needs. Physiological needs, food, water, warmth, rest. Safety needs, security, safety. I don't see anything about financial wellness in there. And that is a huge part of it. So anyway. So I'm happy today. Right? I've already done cleaning this morning, which everybody knows that makes me happy. And my schedule slowed down a little bit, so I'm getting my shit together, which means I'll be able to start writing the book again. The Book of Post-Traumatic Winning. That's right. I think I'm going to do it like chapter and verse, too. I think I'm going to do that. Because I want to be able to look at somebody, you know, in Post-Traumatic Winning, chapter 4, verse 3. And they'll say, what? Yeah, in chapter 4, verse 3. Mac, I'm not sure if you know this. It's not the Bible. And then I'll look and I'll say, are you sure? Says who? Anyway, so good morning on a Wednesday. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the news. Grant Newsom's going to join us here in a little bit from Taipei, also known as Taiwan. So Grant traveling yesterday, and so we'll talk to him. And looking forward to that. We'll talk to him about Hong Kong and the Kabuki dance that's going to go on between President Trump and President Xi. I don't think President Xi can make a deal, right? For him to make a deal requires him to compromise the Chinese, you know, way of life. Is he going to do that? The Chinese system of control, of forced technology transfers and all of that, is he going to do that? I just don't see him doing that, right? And now you have the China-North Korea summit. What do you think those two pinheads are going to talk about? Humpty Dumpty is going to come in? Okay. And she's going to look at him like, are you kidding me, man? You're a disaster. Okay. You are such a boil in my ass with the Americans. So here's what I'm telling you you're going to have to do. Yeah, so, okay, let me go back to Maslow. Maslow, physiological. There's a picture of food and a picture of a fire. Safety. There's a picture of scales of justice, and I don't know it looks like a tambourine, or it might look like money, I don't know. Love and belonging, esteem, self-actualization. I should probably take a class on Maslow. O'Hara man, he's been fired up lately. I don't know why. This is about college loan forgiveness. So watch him get his blowtorch out of my daughter here. It's one of the most economic, illiterate arguments the left is making. It appeals to the new generation of economic illiterates that the higher education system has produced. He's right about that. I mean, it is stunning. And the look on my daughter's face, daughter's face when I started like browbeating her, and I did it with a really nice voice, so it's like, is he browbeating? Because it feels like it, but he's saying it in such a happy tone in his voice that I'm not sure he's browbeating me. And then after about another minute of it, it was like, oh, he's browbeating me. He's just gotten better at it. Yeah. So you make certain decisions that you had to go away to college for 4 years, and you ran up that tuition, you ran up that housing and your costs and your living, and you didn't get a job, so you took it out on loans, and somebody told you that was the right thing to do, and now you've got $240,000, you got a 30-year mortgage you're going to be paying off. Congratulations, dumbass. And it should be forgiven because it's so unfair. So then we had a discussion about discussions we've had in our family. My oldest son was on the 6-year plan. He kind of screwed himself. Number two is when I got the GI Bill, right? So Patrick did okay, and then Patrick made a decision after 2 years at the University of Arizona. He needed to stay in school, but the GI Bill had run out. And he said, what do you think I should do? I said, if it was me, take your degree and leave. He said, well, I'll have a degree in general studies. I said, I don't care what it is. If you can't talk your way into a job with that degree, then come on. Besides, unless you get a degree in accounting or engineering or a hard skill, the rest of it's all bullshit anyway. And he said, all right, because Patrick can add. Catherine, probably luckiest of all, she, I think, was in her first year, and then she got 2 years of college for free and moved out here, so went to college for dirt cheap at Orange Coast College, and then enrolled in Cal State Fullerton, no tuition, lived at home, smart, 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 so left college with virtually no debt and money in the bank, and worked the whole time. Oh, wait a minute. You mean other people didn't have those choices? Well, they didn't have the tuition choice. Okay, you're right. But they could have gone to a junior college, right? And then they could have taken out loans at which were what? How much a semester? Just tuition. Oh, I don't know. $4,000 at Cal State Fullerton. Okay, $8,000. So $12,000. No, $816,000, maybe $24,000. And got a degree from Cal State Fullerton. Yeah. Okay, save the pretzel logic for me. Anyway, Ohio man goes on. The only difference is that the scam that higher education system has been running, raising tuition and fees as government increases loan maximums at a rate faster than inflation. The cost of going to school has compounded to the point where new grads are hopelessly in debt as soon as they graduate. Poor choices of school they can't afford and degrees that are not attractive to employers just make it worse. Yeah, no shit. Here's the question, though. Where's all the money going? And I've said this before. You could give the whole federal budget to educators and they're like, it's not enough. We still have more programs we need to fund. These people need to raise. These people need to raise. I mean, we thought it was going to be a lot of money when you said you could have the whole budget, but turns out it's not enough. And then everybody standing behind the spokesperson won't say a word. They just nod their head. Yup. Yup. What she said. Yeah. Teachers unions? Don't even try. Professors? Don't even try. Tenure? Hello. Yeah, it's a whole crazy system that they run. So to me, somebody better look at education and figure out how to deliver it for less, because that system's broke. But the most hilarious thing is that is young people that will make this is their right, right? This is their right. Same thing with healthcare. Healthcare is a right. Okay, do you want VA healthcare? What? Yeah, do you want to make an appointment and go in August? Well, no. Well, that's the VA. That's what you're talking about. Oh, you want access the way you get it when you pay for it, because you pay insurance, and you want everybody to have that. Yeah. Can it not work like that? No, it cannot work like that. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Oh, I didn't know that. Anyhow. Now, not that the medical system in the United States is free of its own follies, but it's a right, and you don't have to pay into the system, blah, 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 blah. So you look at these things that people trot out. I mean, they're stupid. And I mean, I don't even go into fact check, you know, logically think through them or add money to it. It's stupid. It just gets stupider and stupider and stupider. I mean, I just saw the video of that AOC lady, like, talking about, we are running concentration camps on the border. Okay. Right, that is a person that is just one of two things, either fundamentally ignorant about an issue. Okay, you don't know what a concentration camp is. All right, you're ignorant, if you knew what a concentration camp was, if you honestly knew what you were talking about, you wouldn't be saying that. Or, this I think is probably the more logical choice, she doesn't care what the truth is. It's an inflammatory statement that contributes to her narrative, and the truth is irrelevant like it is in much of our country. The truth is irrelevant. So, anyway, on all that, yeah, I'm a happy guy. Yeah, so Kobe Bryant, I want you to listen to this one more time. Maybe you should think about meditating too. I didn't do it. I think you could do it. I think, first of all, you clear your brain. And then I think what I would do if I was to do this brain clearing activity, not meditation. I don't meditate. I do brain clearing stuff. What are you doing? Brain clearing stuff right now? I'm clearing my brain. But I'm not sitting there like minutes. A lot of people sit there with like a blank brain. I don't want to sit there with a, I don't know that I can sit there with a blank brain, right? And do my breathing. I think what I think about is the course of my day, how it's going to unfold, the things I need to do, and that I'm going to try to be a better person. I'm going to try to be more in control, and I'm going to try not to kill anybody today. That's right, especially if they piss me off. So, yeah, that's what I think. So here's Kobe Bryant.
I meditate every day.
Yeah, hey, Kobe.
I meditate every day. And
why'd you say it twice?
I do it in the mornings, and I do it for about 10 to 15 minutes.
And yeah, don't have to do it long, 10 to 15 minutes. I would even say maybe you don't even have to do it that long. Okay? I used to do a thing in Afghanistan. I used to go to sleep. I'd close my eyes and I'd stare at the blackest place I could find with my eyes closed. And now you might say, well, Mac, stupid, isn't it black anytime you close your eyes? Oh, no, it's not. Not when I close my eyes. There's kind of different spots when I close my eyes. Okay, and I concentrate on the blackest spot. Now, you may think that's stupid. It works for me. Yeah. So I would do a version of that as combat mind clearing. Mind, M-I-N-D, not M-I-N-E, okay? Get it right. Remember I always tell you how cool I am? Alright? So, as I'm sitting here bloviating about, now let me finish this and then I'll get to that. And this is why I want to encourage you. Download the 3 Goals and 9 Commandments. Yeah, Mac, I thought it was 2 and 8. Oh, it's 3 and 9 now. Right? Actually, it's 2 and 8 still up on the website. So don't download it for about 12 hours. Okay? Download that onto your phone and just leave it there. I swear to God, you'll change somebody's life. And I'm going to read you an email that as I'm sitting here talking about Kobe Bryant just pops in my phone. And you can have this shit happen to you. Right? I'll read you 2 emails that I've gotten in the last 24 hours. Yeah, it's like the best life in the world. And now you can keep doing all the stuff that you're doing, right? You've got a family, you've got work. And this is just a little side hobby where you do the Lord's work, you do the work of the green energy, you do Buddha's work, you do your own work, whatever the fuck you want to call it, all right? Where you touch the lives of other people and you help them. So I'm going to take you down that road here in a second after we get done with Kobe. Hit it.
And I think it's important because it sets me up for the rest of the day.
I think that's important too. And that's where the Maslow's ladder comes in. That's why it's really important to teach kids about financial responsibility and financial discipline. Make them smart about money, and that way they don't have to live like I've had to live, like a shithead. Okay?
You know, it helps me. It's like having an anchor.
Kobe doesn't have that problem, though.
You know, if I don't do it, I feel like I'm constantly chasing the day.
That's a good way to put it, though, right? When you're, I don't want to say, and he revisits that issue of chasing the day and being in control. It doesn't mean you dictate the things that comes at you. It means in that space, right, that Frankl talks about between stimuli and response, in that space, right, you're better in that place. That's what that means, right? Now, I'd say mindfulness, but that's way too West LA for me.
As opposed to being able to be controlled and dictate the day. Not that you're, you know, calling the shots on what comes forward, but the fact that I am set and ready for whatever may come my way. You know, I have a calmness about whatever comes my way and a poise. And that comes from starting the morning off with meditation.
There you have it, Kobe Bryant. All right, now, I want to take you into my world a little bit, okay? And I just want to tease, maybe you can be me. Okay, I got this a day or so ago. Sir, my name is, I won't tell you, my husband just left a brief that you spoke at. He had nothing but amazing things to say, and it piqued my interest. I am a training officer, and she gives the city, for first responders organization. I was wondering if you ever traveled to do your presentations, and if so, have you ever given your presentation to first responders? I'm a member of a few different fire organizations in Oklahoma, and we are always looking for people we think would be good to have come speak to us. PTSD and suicide are big problems in the fire, police, and EMS services, and it is a difficult topic to really get people to listen to. Sometimes having someone from outside come in makes people hear the message. I haven't brought this up to anyone else for consideration because I wanted to check with you first to see if it would even be possible. If not, I completely understand. I would like to thank you anyway for taking the time to spread awareness on such an important topic. My husband's exact words were, quote, "I wish I had the last 2 hours of my life on video." It was that profound for him. Thank you very much for your service and your time. Right? You've heard me talk about that sometimes I have to tie myself in bed at night because I will float away. It's stuff like that, right? My husband's exact words were, "I wish I had the last 2 hours of my life on video." It was that profound for him. He walked out outside and called his wife. I mean, how cool is that? And what I'm telling you is that you can have the same thing happen to you, because nothing I do here is anything that anybody with an average amount of intelligence can't do. Okay? Now let me read you another one. This just bombed in here in the last few minutes. And this shit happens to me all the time. Okay. "Sir, I was fortunate to hear you speak to the 25th Marine Regiment while we were out at ITX in Camp Wilson. I spoke to you for just a bit after the post-traumatic winning talk. Thanks for speaking so candidly to our Marines about the realities of suffering in life and our responsibility to embrace that, not run from it, and to embrace each other. For what it's worth, I think you were doing some great work for the Marine Corps and might be spurring the beginnings of a doubling down on what our culture can and always should be, disciplined, mentally and physically tough warriors who love each other and will give the enemy no rest. Further, I hope the Marine Corps can be a small catalyst of change in our larger society. Anyway, I'm one of the few Marines who was fortunate enough to be Furness, Bronzy, and Butler trained, and they all speak highly of you. Keep up the great work. I know me and many other Marines appreciate all you're doing for our Corps. Semper Fidelis. That just bombs in. Right? And so, you guys are my friends because you listen all the time. So what I'm telling you is download that stuff. Right? Download that stuff. Put it on your phone. Take care of your money. Be disciplined. Right? Get yourself to a better place and touch people's lives, and there is no greater existence than that. None. None even close. I knew this one was coming. Good morning, Mac. If I had 500 million, I'd be a little bit more calm throughout the day too, regardless of meditation. You know what? I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. The other, you know, again, I don't use Kobe Bryant that deal, even though that's one of the better things I've ever seen by somebody who's a marquee guy, somebody who's performed under pressure, you know, and I used it once and I had a woman come up to me afterwards and say, you know, he's accused of sexual assault. And I was like, my instinct was, some of you have heard me say this, but yeah, in this country, he wasn't convicted, right? So what does that mean? Does that mean that he should, you know, he has to go away? So it doesn't matter if you're convicted. It only matters if you're accused. But anyway, in a discussion with a number of people, that juice is not worth the squeeze. So he does not appear in it. Because simply, if it upsets somebody, it detracts from the message, and that is the way it goes. So, but it's a great piece of video. But I knew 500 million. Is that what he's worth? He made a lot of money for a lot of years. So Kobe Bryant. All right, we should probably start the show at 8:48. That might be a world record, man. That might be a world record. Anyway, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps band makes today official. Good morning. Dedicated to Maslow, whatever his first name is, right? And this is in the hopes that somebody unscrews your work. I think you got a little bit more work to do on that hierarchy of needs. I think it needs to be fleshed out a little bit. I think there's some major gaps in it, and so here's hoping that you get your shit together. But this is dedicated to you and the concept, which is, we all know, valid. You can't take care of this till you take care of that.
We are You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We do have to win. Yeah. WIN. Doesn't stand for whip inflation now, as Gerald Ford said years ago. I had a win button in my 1953 Ford mainline. Yeah, it was like the first soft magnetic buttons I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah, it was red circle with white letters that said WIN. Gerald Ford, whip inflation now. Yeah, that was during the gas crisis, right? I was bagging groceries. I was not pleased about that. Gas went from nothing to something. Holy shit. All right, we'll check the weather. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 79. Further down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is cloudy, partly cloudy in both places, and 83 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms reports, sun and 89, so it's going to be warm there today. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 61 right now. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 79. In Okinawa, it is cloudy and 80, but it doesn't say dark. What time is it in Okinawa? Hold on, let me find out. Local time, Okinawa, Japan. It is 12:56 a.m. What kind of bullshit is this? Anyway, so it's dark, cloudy, and 80 degrees on Okinawa. Yeah, 80, nice. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 89. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, it is cloudy and 65. It was cloudy all day till like 7 o'clock last night when the sun came out. It's ridiculous. Cloudy and look for high today of 71. 70 tomorrow with cloudy skies. Rain on Friday. Rain Thursday night, rain on Friday. Good Lord, what is going on? All right. Time for us to check news headlines before Grant Newsham shows up. So, anyway, it's the least I could do after giving you all this good, all this high-quality personal advice. So, headlines, Stars and Stripes. Survey says, conspiracy of silence. Top story, Stars and Stripes. Here you have it. Conspiracy of silence. After atomic blast, a dangerous cleanup scarred troops for life. So you've seen these stories for years. Let me tell you, government does some bad stuff. Agent Orange, nuclear, you know, radiation stuff. Next headline, Navy SEAL convicted in death of Green Beret soldier investigated for contact with victim's widow at a party. Chief Special Warfare Operator Adam C. Matthews faced a murder charge in the death of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger and was wearing a Rambo costume at the time he approached Melger's widow, according to military documents. Are you shitting me? Like, this stuff is crazy. By the way, Vacaville man looked into it. Kobe Bryant's worth $500 million. A Navy SEAL convicted in the death of a Green Beret soldier is under investigation by authorities for approaching a victim's widow under a pseudonym at a Las Vegas party, allegedly requesting access to her room and telling her that the SEALs involved in her husband's death were good guys, according to military documents and three people familiar with the case. Chief Special Warfare Operator Adam C. Matthews faced a murder charge in the death of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger and was wearing a Rambo costume at the time, according to the documents which were obtained by the Washington Post. They were verified with three people familiar with the investigation who requested anonymity. The encounter adds a new layer of strangeness to the death of Melger, a member of 3rd Special Forces Group who previously had deployed to Afghanistan. It also raises questions about the amount of freedom the Navy provided to Matthews, a member of SEAL Team 6, who received a one-year prison sentence in May after becoming the first service member charged willing to testify against the other. The January encounter between Matthews and Melger's wife, Michelle, occurred at a charity party hosted by Cree Precision, a company that makes military apparel and tactical gear, according to NCIS documents detailing the incident. The event was affiliated with the SHOT Show, that's run in Las Vegas. An attorney for Matthews acknowledged the encounter in an email to the Washington Post on Tuesday. He said his client and Michelle Melger unintentionally met briefly at a SHOT Show event, and that it was an innocent coincidence with zero romantic intent by either individual. Baxley added that Matthews and Michelle Melger discussed their meeting with each other after the court-martial, and neither bears any ill will. Quote, I have discussed this situation at length with the prosecution. I do not anticipate any disciplinary action being taken against Matthews for his unintentional meeting, Baxley said. Okay, now Baxley is Matthews' attorney. But other people familiar with the encounter describe Matthews' intentions differently. Matthews said Matthews, using the pseudonym Mike, approached Michelle Melger in a costume, chatted her up, danced with her, and exchanged phone numbers with her without revealing who he was, witnesses told NCIS. She had been invited to the SHOT Show as a representative of the Special Forces Foundation, a nonprofit that provides financial assistance to families of special operations troops in need. The witnesses interviewed this spring described Matthews as attempting to be cozy and flirtatious with her, but without any physical contact or kissing. A few of them said Matthews asked to go to her room with her, but she was not interested. The Post is withholding the names of the individuals interviewed because several of them appear to be active duty special operations troops. At least one of them is a recipient of the Silver Star. Baxley said that Matthews was using a pseudonym, an alias, a false name, because none of those special warfare operators give their real first names when they meet a stranger. So, what do you think he knew who she was? So, what do you think he was up to? Do you think he wanted to have a legitimate romantic encounter with the wife of somebody that he murdered? What do you think, or would you think he was trying to compromise her and blackmail her? And why would he bring up, if there was a trial ongoing, why would he even bring up those other guys and say that to her? I'll tell you why. Because he was trying to find a way to blackmail her. He's trying to find a way to blackmail her. That's unbelievable. What time is it? 9:03. We've got to take a break. A couple more headlines. U.S. Navy expert. Tanker attack mine resembles an Iranian mine. Commander Sean Keto of U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet talks to journalists about the 5th Fleet base near the UAE. Right? Keto said damage done last week to the Kukuka Courageous was not considered with an external... was not consistent with an external flying object hitting the ship. So that means that somebody had to pull up next to the ship, put that thing on the ship, and detonate it. Who might that be? Okay. So, that's Stars and Stripes. You know what? We never, speaking of the Fifth Fleet, there was just a report released. Two reports I've got to get. One released said that the admiral who was found dead committed suicide. Like, what the hell, right? Anybody else want to say something else about that? Like, what the hell? An admiral committing suicide, what's that about? Why? How does that slip through? All right. So anyway, Fifth Fleet in action. All right. Let me see if there's anything other than clickbait at still top of Marine Corps Times. There's no female Marines currently leading infantry platoons in the Marine Corps. Must be getting a lot of clicks, right? So that, and then top five stories in Early Bird, and then we'll take a real quick break, and then we'll get Grant Newsham on here. Because it's midnight where he is. That's right. He gets up later than that. Or he has. One, Shanahan out. Acting Defense Secretary withdraws his confirmation bid. You know what? Let me tell you, watching that was brutal. And the story about his son hitting his mother with a baseball bat. You know, question is, why did it take so long? Number two, don't expect the U.S. to secure the Arabian Gulf shipping alone, top general says. So that's General McKenzie. Right? We need our allies there. Come on. Right, we're more interested than you are. Okay, fuck it then. Number three, SEAL war crime trial begins. All right, so Chief Gallagher being his trial begins. Number four, Trump plans Air Force One flyover of the mall during the Fourth of July celebration. Why not? What the hell? Number five, Air Force landlord falsified records to boost incomes, documents show. This is an article of Reuters from Reuters. We'll talk about it. It has to do with the base housing thing. And let me just tell you, if it wasn't for Reuters, right, none of this shit would happen. So expecting the federal government to find its way and tell the truth, I don't know. Maybe something that we shouldn't expect. Okay, we'll take a break. Grant Newsham going to join us next. We'll take about a minute or two break, as long as it takes to get him on. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.